Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now is Turner Sports NBA analyst, former NBA player Channing Frye. See Channing co-hosting NBA TV's newest social media-driven show, Handles, alongside Taz Mellis. I hope he said his name right. Every Thursday at 1 a.m., where they will recap Wednesday night's top moments, highlights, and storylines immediately following live NBA action. Channing Frye. Channing, Joe, and Evan in New York, how are you?
What's going on, man?
How are you? Now, I got to start. I'm a little aggravated with you. I got to tell you this right away.
What? What's up?
Okay, I'm a Knicks fan since about 1962. Okay, I'm an old man. Cool. I'm an old man. I've seen it. I actually saw them when they were a championship team, believe it. How about that concept? Okay? Now, so we are not supposed to boo Kristaps Porzingis, a guy who was greasing the skids probably 2 years before he even left the Knicks to get out of town. We shouldn't be booing this guy because he wanted to leave the Knicks? What?
Let me say this. Do you think – was Chris Epps – did Chris Epps Porzingis, when he played, right, did he put everything – do you think he put everything on that court for the New York Knicks uniform?
But what does that mean? He wanted out. I don't care what he did. He wanted out of
– would you want to play for
anything.
The Knicks?
What
right
did he do?
As a player.
Hold on a minute. Was this guy Patrick Ewing? Was this guy Walt Clyde Frazier? Who was he? What did he do? He was hurt half the time he was here.
You're comparing Chris Epps to guys from the 80s, Hall of Famers. Chris Epps is not a Hall of Famer.
Amen.
But in all actuality, listen, let's talk about R.J. Barrett. Is this team built around R.J. Barrett, your stud first-round pick? Is this team going to be successful for his future? So do you think R.J. Barrett is getting the best chance at being R.J. Barrett?
But
yes,
that's not
no?
the point.
Tell me that.
The point is this
I'm
guy. No,
question.
No, but
just
Channing, but
question.
The point is not that.
Answer my question. Just answer my question. Yes or no? Do you think R.J. Barrett is in the best situation?
Probably not.
To be a Clyde, to be a Patrick.
He's probably
Ewing?
Not. But that. But
okay.
I don't hear R.J.
So
Barrett
think,
saying, I want to get out of New York. This guy wanted out.
Do you think he's able to, like, would you want to be a New York Knicks right now?
That's not the point.
Based on this situation?
So I got to be okay with this guy because he wanted to leave the franchise?
You don't
no
have
matter
to be
what
okay
the
with
reason
that.
Is. Okay, I
you
understand. Look,
okay
I know the Knicks
that.
Are a disaster, Channing. I get it. They're a disaster. No, I don't because he couldn't wait to get
so
the hell out of town.
He's supposed to ruin his career. He's supposed to wait.
That's not
for
the point.
Knicks
he could do whatever he wants.
No foreseeable future.
Channing, he could do whatever he wants, but that doesn't mean I can't boot a guy for wanting to leave my team. Does it?
No. Go ahead. That's fine. Listen, if we're just talking about booing, yes, you could do whatever the hell you want to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Totally. But I felt like Kristaps, when I played against y'all, Kristaps made the games fun when he was here.
Okay.
But he can only do so much within the dysfunction of that team.
So
he chose for himself to just say, hey, listen, I need to go somewhere with a little bit more stability where I can win some games and not have to do this by myself.
Okay, great.
That's it.
So I don't have to be happy with that as a Knicks fan for a guy that couldn't wait to leave. It's one thing if he got traded, that's a different story. But this guy, and he wasn't really looking to get out. This guy couldn't, going back to his brother who was an agent who, like I said, was greasing the skids for 2 years before he left. I mean, who's kidding who? That's my problem, Channing. I understand the Knicks are a disaster, of course. I know nobody wants to play for him. I get it. I get Dolan's a disaster. It's been, almost 20 years of disgrace. I get it. But the guy still couldn't wait to get the hell out of town.
No. You guys had some really good years with Melo. You guys made the playoffs.
That was 1 year. They won 1 year. And they didn't even – and you know what? They won 54 games, and they didn't even get to where they should have got. They lost to Indiana in the second round. I mean, who's kidding who?
Yeah.
I mean, Channing, let's be real here. Some really good years. They had one crummy year. What? Big deal. When they win the NBA title?
Am I missing something,
Channing? Come on.
I'm a glass half full dude. But look,
I guess you are.
You know why you are, Channing? Because you got out of here after two years. That's why.
But at least you weren't saying, I can't wait to get the hell out of here. You weren't doing that.
Listen, I think Everybody's been out of there so quick. There's been so much turnover.
They're a disaster. Nobody's disagreeing with that. We know that.
Yeah.
You know what it is, man?
But go ahead. Listen, look, I'll say this. Listen to you as a Knicks fan. Obviously, I was a player.
You were.
You guys can boo whoever you want. You guys can boo the dang Knicks for all I care.
Well, and they should get
booed.
But
I was just giving you a different point. Yeah, I was just giving you a different point.
Okay. All right.
Boo the man because he's playing, obviously, for the Mavericks, a different team. Like, y'all boo everybody else, right? But when he's, like, on the low, after the game, he's like, damn, I wish Porzingis was still here. Because that's why you're booing the shit the crap out of him.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying that. I really don't wish he was still here because he didn't want to be here. And let me say this too, Channing. If lately at the Garden, the opposition gets cheered more than the Knicks do. Oh, who's getting old? Let's be real.
It's tough, man. It's tough.
Am I wrong? Just,
No. Y'all got good players, right? There's just a lot of players at the same position where it's like you're trying to play bruiser basketball and teams are averaging like 110 points a game. It's kind of, you know, listen, deep down inside, I think a lot of the old school players, guys above 35, 34, remember when the Knicks were good and the Knicks, like, had an identity, and I think it's, like, hard to watch them not have an identity, and there's all this turmoil and turnover.
Yeah,
and
no,
you guys
I get
have
that.
Really good players that just, like, you know, and listen, I'm not a GM, you know, but it's my opinion. It was my job to give an opinion now. I felt like this year, I thought Mitchell was solid. Mm-hmm. I thought, you know, Nicotilli was serviceable.
Right.
And I thought R.J. Barrett was a great pick. I would have just put some one or two vets around him and had just kept it solid this year.
But they tried. Didn't they try to do that, though? I mean, they brought in Marcus Morris. They brought in Taj Gibson.
But you know what? The offense revolves around the veterans they brought in. So it's not what you suggested.
Right. Like, it's not, yeah. Like, you can't plant, like, one seed and then all of a sudden put, like, five, six plants around it. It's going to drown it out.
Yeah, it's just the wrong veterans.
That's the thing. It's like, I think Knicks fans, look, you guys are used to losing at this point. So it's like...
Used to be a laughing stock. Never mind losing. It's a laughing stock,
No. I say this. Listen, you guys, as Knicks fans, I know you guys. If you guys had a hard, young, like, a hard-working young team that was going to go out there and bust their butt every night, and you saw development each night, people would still continue to pack the Garden and cheer it on. I've seen what teams do when you guys had Jeremy Lin. Now, mind you, he had those crazy games, but still, if you think about that team, it was no Melo, it was Jeremy Lin and Amari. Mm-hmm. Then they were and Wilson Chandler and Gallinari, and they were going on tears, and the Knicks was, and the Garden was electric. So it's not like you need, at this day and age, crazy three or four superstars. You just need a team that's going to go out there, get their garbage, you know, their lunch pail, and go to work.
We're talking to Channing Frye. When did you realize that the Knicks were a dumpster fire? Because you were only here for 2 years. Did you know that before you were traded?
You know what? When I was there, it took me about a month. I think between...
A month? It took a month?
No. I'll say this. It was just like... The team we had on paper, right, was amazing. And those guys individually, still friends with Quentin Richardson, you know, still cool with Steph and all, and Jamal Crawford and Nate and all these guys, and Malik Rose. But it was just like we have young guys, we have old guys. There was just no – it just didn't mesh.
Yeah.
And then you add Larry Brown, right, and then you add, you know, Isaiah, who's my guy.
Mm.
His dream wasn't the same as Larry's dream, and the players were going through their own thing because they were getting paid. It was just a lot of dysfunction. You know, there was no real pecking order. And I think in each organization, to be good, you need a pecking order, right?
Yeah.
It's like even for the Nets, like when they blew it up, they said Kenny Atkinson is the man. So we're going to put guys around him to fit in his system, and we're going to draft and trade that way. And they did. And over the years, they got better. Now, all of a sudden, now they get superstars because the superstars are like, well, I like what you've done. I like the culture created.
Right.
Yeah, but they were patient.
Well,
I just think sometimes the Knicks need to be patient with less to build that less up.
Right now, I'm a Net fan, by the way. So Joe is a Knick fan, right. As you could tell in your discussion. I'm a Net fan, and I got a lot of your former teammates on my team right now. Yeah. A few of them I did not like when they were not on my team. I have to learn how to like Kyrie Irving, and now Amon Shumpert. What do you think of this team? Because I got to tell you, I'm worried, especially with Kyrie dealing with a shoulder issue. I'm not even thinking about Durant. That's not for this season. Right. But what is your honest assessment on where this team is right now? Because they're probably going to lose tonight. They're probably losing to Denver. So what's your feeling on this team right now?
You know, I think this team is really an they're two different teams, right? There's Kenny Atkinson's, and there's like the Brooklyn Nets that people have gotten to know over the last 4 or 5 years. And then now there's Kevin Durant, and then there's superstars, or Kyrie. And then I'm even going to put Caris LeVert in there, who are 101 guys. Now, when D'Angelo Russell was there, he was kind of running the show, and he was the head of the, you know, head of the snake, right? So was Kenny. Now it's Kyrie, Kenny, and then when KD comes back, KD's above both those guys, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah.
So at what point does Kenny's system get implemented to Kyrie, who is already a champion, who's already been proven in the playoffs, who's already been proven in the NBA? Is he going to fit into Kenny's system, or is Kenny going to adjust his system for the superstars? And that is a big deal with a lot of coaches. You look at Boston. Kyrie went to Boston. It wasn't like his system doesn't work. It was like, does his system work for superstars? It happens a lot of times. Like, certain coaches, it's hard for them to adjust their system to superstars, right? Because they're like, well, move this or cut this.
Right.
Screen four to six times. And the superstar goes, for what? I could just dribble the ball down the court and score. This is, we're being inefficient. You want me to play 35 minutes, 40 minutes? I can just go down here and score. Mm. So I got the Nets. I got the Nets 6-7 if Kyrie can stay healthy all year. But, you know, with his shoulder, you're asking him a lot. You know, he was on a tear early on. Obviously, he's going to score. But the way he scores is a lot different than what those young guys are used to watching and used to being, like, what's happening within the system.
Is Fizdale make it to the new year?
You know what? If he doesn't, I wouldn't be surprised if he got a new job before the new year. Like, he's
how
that good of a
be
coach.
Picked up? Really?
I think, dude, he's that good of a coach, man. I think, you know, you can have the best chef, but if you don't have the right ingredients, you can have a crappy meal. You know, like.
But, Shane, I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I say this as a Net fan. I'm trying not to be, but I think he's been terrible with this team. I don't think he's gotten the most out of it. I think some of his rotations make no sense. The fact that they've called basically no pick and rolls for Julius Randle doesn't make sense. His handling of Ntilikina
games
early
against
on,
bad teams at home when they didn't even show up. They got whacked by 30 points in games like that. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it the way you're seeing it right now.
So here's what I'll ask, right? When is it the player's fault when they don't show up, right? So imagine if, like, there's four microphones and four people are trying to interview me, like, and they all are asking kind of the same questions, right? Wouldn't that be frustrating to go to work every single day?
Mm.
You know, and I think for me, I've been on teams where you look at them on paper and you're like, I can see where this is going, and they have really good players. But at the end of the day, if we don't all mesh, if we don't all do something different that supports and that elevates each other, we're not going to be a good
team.
But
can it be both? Can it be what you're saying? The construction of this roster isn't good. I'm not sitting here telling you they should win 38 games. I think that the construction is bad and the coach isn't putting them in the best position to win. So I just tell you, as an independent observer, I think it's everything's bad. Like, there's nothing good.
Okay, so let me ask you this. We'll play a game. You put out your starting five. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that you think is going to win you, I don't know, I'm going to be pretty chill here, 30 games in the NBA. And you tell me how you would do it.
Well, first
with
of
that roster.
With that roster, what I would do is I would avoid having Bobby Portis, Julius Randle, and Kevin Knox on the floor at the same time, because all three of those guys are very lousy defensively. I would have different alignment. And by the way, I want to make it clear, bro, I don't think they can win more than 35 games or even 30.
35?
I'm just... debate. They're two. Yeah, 35. No, I'm not thinking that. It's just.
You're being very nice. The over-under, I think, is 28, to be honest.
That's one example. And I wouldn't give the basketball to Julius Randle and say, he's Kyrie Irving, go create. You know what I mean? That's a few things I would do.
That's kind of what he's that's kind of what he's been. And, like, if you watch him last year in New Orleans, that is where he's dangerous, if you think about it. Like, when he has floor spacing, Julius is an absolute monster. As a big man, he's very underrated, quick first step. He's physical. He's going to attack the rim relentlessly. And he was getting triple-doubles. Like, he had a couple triple-doubles last year. So, like, he can do that thing with spacing. So, and let me ask you this, and this happens. If you have Taj Gibson, Bobby Portis, you know, Julius Randle, Kevin Knox, let's say all those dudes deserve 30 minutes, right, a game, because they're all paid, they're all really talented, and they all should play. So where are you going to find 30 minutes for those four guys?
I wouldn't.
Including R.J. Barrett.
I wouldn't.
They don't play on the court together.
I wouldn't play Bobby Portis 30 minutes.
You know what, Channing? This team, to me, is all about the young guys. I want to see Mitchell Robinson. I want to see Barrett. I want to see Knox.
Yeah,
I want to see Ntilikina. These are the guys I want to see. I want to see these guys. Even Randle, he's only 25. I want to see these guys develop. I don't really care about Marcus Morris or Taj Gibson or, you know, Elfrid Payton. I these guys aren't going to be here long term anyway. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I totally do. But you know what? I've actually played with Elfrid. I think in a different situation, you guys would, as Knicks fans, would love the hell out of that kid, man. Like, he's really solid defensively. He loves to pass. He attacks the rim. He's a good floor general. I just think sometimes when he doesn't have spacing, he relies on, like, he takes kind of mid-range, a lot of mid-range tough jumpers. And I watched you guys, and I said this in a tweet, there's no spacing. And why did I say the spacing part? But I said, the Knicks take some of the worst shots in the NBA.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you guys?
Isn't that on Fizdale?
Exactly.
I think yes and no, but that's also where those guys have shot the ball from throughout their career, where they have had success. Like, Bobby Portis can score. He shoots a lot of mid-range post-ups.
Oh, yeah.
Julius Randle shoots a lot of mid-range post-ups. You know, like, Kevin Knox shoots a lot of pull-ups. Like, Marcus Morris, pull-ups. So, like, you can't blame them for being mid-range pull-up guys. This is what you saw. This is what you have. So you have to figure out a system, which is on Fizdale, where you can try and compete in the NBA and develop your young guys with a team that mainly shoots mid-range pull-ups.
Mid-range pull-ups in the NBA right now.
Yeah.
That's like a dinosaur.
It is a dinosaur.
I mean, it really is.
Yeah, that's unfortunately, Spurs are going through it. The Spurs are going through that a lot right now because, you know, DeMar shoots a lot. LaMarcus shoots a lot. And they just don't have that firepower that they used to. And so they're going to have to change some things up down there.
I don't think DeMar DeRozan has attempted a three yet this season. I'd have
really
to double check if he's attempted one
in
the last
couple.
Ben Simmons.
That's a little crazy.
Ben Simmons world.
Yeah,
it is
crazy.
That?
Well, Ben Simmons
Tristan
just
– has more.
The thing is, Ben Simmons can't shoot the three. And I'm not saying DeMar DeRozan is not a great three-point shooter to begin with. But in this NBA – oh, he's attempted one. We have an update. He's attempted four now. He's 0 for 4 from three. Well, think about this.
Who?
DeMar DeRozan.
Oh, yeah, he's 0 for 4.
In his last year in Toronto, he attempted 287 threes. Last year with the Spurs, 45. This year, 4. So, I mean,
Yeah, I don't know what that is. I think for a guy, we'll go to Ben Simmons. I'll tell you this. I've watched a lot of this kid. The way he gets to the basket with ease during the regular season is absolutely amazing to watch. He is an absolute animal. And he creates a lot of opportunities for his teammates and for himself by doing that. But here's the problem. When the playoffs come, people are going to, I'm going to say, almost mentally embarrass you by just backing up. And I've watched Philly a lot this year. They have some serious issues in the half court. Serious issues with spacing.
Yeah.
Guys not shooting threes very well.
They're
going to miss the guys that they lost last year. And that is going to be a problem. Because now it's like you double team Embiid to swing the Tobias, who's going to drive, who's going to swing the Ben Simmons, who's going to drive.
Exactly. I totally agree with that. They need shooters on that roster.
They are bruisers.
Yep.
They are big. But at the end of the day, you look at Milwaukee, who I think is the best team in the East.
I agree.
They can throw a lineup out there. Brooke Lopez, Robin Lopez, Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Bledsoe.
You know where they screwed up, though? But you know where they screwed up? How do they let Malcolm Brogdon walk away? How do they let that
happen?
That guy's an all-star now in Indiana, basically.
I think at the end of the day, you got to have a pecking order, right? and he was too talented for that roster.
Interesting.
So you get some pieces back, you build your roster, but you can't pay him. If you're ready to win a championship, you can't pay him what he deserves or what he thinks. And he probably is like, I want to get an opportunity to show how good I am. And he can't do that on that roster because that's Giannis's team. That's Chris Middleton's team.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And he didn't want to be third fiddle. I don't know. There's Batman Robin. I don't know who the third guy is.
Probably Batgirl. But
yeah, Batgirl. Nobody wants to be Batgirl.
Nobody
wants to get the auxiliary costume. Okay. So he went to Indiana. That's a good move for him. He's balling out in place of Victor Oladipo. What I say is, hey, listen, 82 is a long season when you go from being the third option to the first option. It's a long season.
That makes sense. I get it.
So look, this is all good and dandy, right? Wonderful that you're balling out right now. But we only played 8-9 games. Wait till 25-30 come around. Everyone's in shape. They got their rosters down. December 15th is going to come around. Some free agent names are going to come. Teams are going to change a little bit. And then we're going to see what Malcolm Brogdon is doing come Christmas time.
All right. We shall. Hey, Channing, appreciate you coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
All right,
and,
Channing.
Yes, you could boo whoever the heck you want to boo.
All right.
They will. Trust me, man.
Don't worry.
They will.
Oh, I know it.
Channing, I never booed you. I'll say that.
No,
anyway.
Dude, I booed myself.
Maybe Isaiah. Yeah, him, not you.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's not start there.
Thank you, Channing.
See you, Channing.
Here you go. See you, guys.
All right, Channing Frye, of course, Turner Sports NBA analyst. You can see Channing co-hosting NBA's TV's newest social media-driven show, Handles, alongside Taz Malice, every Thursday, 1 a.m. Eastern, where they will recap Wednesday night's top moments, highlights, and storylines immediately following live NBA action.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.